All right, well, I want to share with you this morning something that kind of goes hand in hand with that announcement that I made at the offering time. Are you okay with that? You know, there should be just a tremendous response to that question at the suggestion of teaching about how we handle our finances, how we honor the Lord with the resources that He has given to us. If somebody said, "Hey, I'm going to preach about our financial stuff this morning," man, everybody should be shouting, "Yes!" Yes, please do, Pastor. Tell us what the Word of God says about how we should spend our money in Jesus' name. Tell us. Really, that should be our true sentiment, that we should want to know what is the will of the Lord concerning every dollar that comes into my possession. We should want that. We really should. And So we'll share some things related to our offering this morning, and let's just allow the Holy Spirit to challenge us in a deep way, because it's not just covering the costs of running a local church. It is that. But my goodness, when we learn how to take what the Lord has given to us and use it in His name, wow, it's phenomenal how He causes His blessing to rebound back on our lives. In fact, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4. He was commending the believers at Philippi. He said, "You guys have shared with me. You guys have poured resources into my ministry and into my personal upkeep as a Christian leader." And he said, "The blessing of God is going to rebound back to your account." That's the expression that he used there in Philippians 4. And so it's really true. When we give, we will certainly receive, because the Lord said so, Luke 6:38. You know, there was a lady in the church that we were pastoring many years ago in Halifax, and she was relating to us one day after the service that at offering time, when the ushers were passing the offering plates down the pews, I don't know, she must have got distracted or something, but there was her little boy sitting next to her, and there was her purse. And before she knew what happened, her little guy pulled a $20 bill out of her purse and put it in the offering plate. She said, "I never had intention of putting that $20 in. It made things a little tight for me that week." But she said, as it turned out, I'm glad that he did. But at the moment, she said, I wasn't sure. I had to think fast. I wasn't sure to go and retrieve that $20 and take it out again or just let it go. There it goes. But you're never saying bye-bye to your finances when you put it in that basket. When it leaves your hand, it doesn't leave your life. You've heard Pastor Barb say that different times, because it's really true that the resource of the Lord is replenished in so many different dimensions in your life and mine when we honor Him with our finances. Can you say amen? Amen. You sound like you speak from experience. It's really true. We develop a track record as the people of God that the Lord has been faithful. We've been faithful. The Lord's been faithful. It's all good. It's all good. So it's not a thing to fear when the pastor says, "Well, this morning I'd like to address the matter of finances." Probably that little guy who took the $20 bill out of his mom's purse and threw it in the offering plate, he's probably in his mid-30s now. And he's probably the owner of a successful business. And he's probably showing up in church and writing significant size checks for the work of Jesus. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. All right, well, before we get into this a little bit this morning, would you all repeat after me? I love God. Therefore, I love the Word of God. The teachings of Jesus are my greatest counsel. My pride and passion is to follow His example. Say, the Bible is truth to my spirit, joy to my soul, and health to my body. Help me, Lord, to know the book and walk the walk. Amen. All right, in that case, we're in good shape to press ahead here this morning. So I start by saying this. Have you noticed in real life, in the real world, have you noticed how always, in every sphere, every arena of life, always it seems that there will be some people who, shall we say, have more resources to work with, and then others who have comparatively lesser resources to work with. And so there'll always be some people who are in a position to do what we call sponsorship. It's one of the words we use for it. Or we could say that, you know, sometimes we just find that the situation warrants that I'm going to pay somebody else's way. Anybody ever been there? You ever been the one that paid someone else's way? Paid for someone else's lunch? You ever been on the receiving end? Somebody paid your way. That's a happy thing, isn't it? Nothing to be embarrassed about. We see it in international relations. We see how nations do this with other nations. You know, we talk about, you know, first world nations. We talk about, you know, second, third world developing nations. We see how, you know, on the news there's a disaster, and so some nations will help in a big-time way with disaster relief support. You know, they pour money toward that, relief efforts. There's this open-door policy that some nations have when it comes to immigration. I'm so thankful that Canada is a nation that has been able to welcome so many people from so many nations. Come on, can you say amen to that? Isn't it wonderful, the blend and the mix of people that we have in this country? So some nations are able to do this. Other nations are just in developing stages, and they're not the nation that is able to help other nations so much. They're the nations that need help. They need some sponsorship. We see it internationally. We see it in the whole system of taxes. Now, I'm not expecting that there'll be a lot of hallelujahs and enthusiastic amens at the subject, but you know, taxes are actually, they're a necessary thing. It's a good thing. I mean, you pay your taxes to the government, you get your roads paved, and what do you know? There's a truck that comes along and picks up your garbage. Taxes also is a system that has built into it a means of helping people who need some help. There's a social system. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. We live in a nation that is very blessed in terms of the social safety net. We see it just in general interaction with people. People that we rub shoulders with from one day to the next, in the workplace, in the neighborhood, at church, wherever. We see it in the opportunity that life affords to us to do like we were talking about for several weeks. Loving kindness. You know, just these either random acts of being nice to someone, meeting a visible need that someone has, or maybe it's not even so random. You have relationship with other people, and you just take it upon yourself to help them out because they're not able to help themselves concerning some pressing need. Loving kindness. One person has the ability to sponsor, to pay the way of somebody else. Or you ever noticed it in this sense? There's programs being offered. And whoever's running the program, they're looking for some sponsors. Because not everybody is able to sign up and to pay up to benefit from the program. So whether it's World Vision doing a child sponsorship special on television, or whether it's Santa's Anonymous, or whether it's, you know, some kind of a summer camp program for kids who otherwise wouldn't be able to go to camp, but they're looking for people that would just pay the $80 so some kid can go to camp. or that you keep lining up in the lineup every morning at Tim Hortons, and there's a certain X number of cents from your the sale of your donut that goes toward the Tim Hortons summer camp program. Some kid had a phenomenal memory created deep down inside of him because you helped sponsor Tim Hortons camp. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? See, now, this concept of sponsorship, it's all over the place in life. And then you go to church and you think, oh, the great escape. Honey, here we are in church, finally, a place where we are safe from sponsorship. Oh, yeah, we can come in here and claim sanctuary. They'll never find us here. They'll never even think of looking for us in church, of all places. Come into the house of God and we think to ourselves, surely in church, everything will be done on the basis of fair and square. You gotta be kidding me. No, sir. If there's any place where sponsorship ought to kick in, it certainly should be here. Have you ever heard of the 20-80 rule? Otherwise known as the Pareto principle. Who's ever heard of the 20-80 thing? Let me see your hand. It's been around for years. It's amazing how accurate it is when they do their studies and their surveys. The 20-80 rule goes something like this. 20% of the people are responsible for accomplishing about 80% of the work that got done. 20% of the people paid the freight for about 80% of what was necessary and therefore was purchased. 20% of the people in this social group do about 80% of the talking, including pastors. It's the 20-80 principle. And what do you know? Across the board, not just this local church, but across the board, as you confer with other church leaders, it's pretty much true in church life as well. Roughly 20% of the local church membership or attendees give about 80% of all the money that comes in to run the church. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Yeah, the 20-80 principle. Huh. We'd really love to see a shift in that. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Would you go there with me this morning? You know what? I'm working from the Amplified Bible here this morning. Not sure what translation you have in front of you, but I think what you'll see on the screen will be from the Amplified. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And some of you would immediately recognize, oh, Deuteronomy 28, that's the chapter about the blessings of the Lord and also the curses. And we're not talking curses this morning. Thankful for what Jesus has done for us through his death and resurrection. The curse has been broken, but we are very much aware of the fact that God gave this word in Old Testament Israel about how if you follow my instructions and you walk in obedience to me, the blessings will be obvious in your lives. Blessings and the curses. Deuteronomy, that's what's in Deuteronomy chapter 20. You know, I remember reading about Curtis Martin. Some of you wouldn't recognize that name. Some of you would. Curtis Martin, he played for a number of years in the National Football League. Had a very prolific career, actually rushed for over 14,000 yards. Played for the Patriots, and then he played for the New York Jets. But before that, he played in high school, and then he played in college, and then, of course, he was drafted in the NFL. But he always had worn, I think it was number 22. Love that number. You know how these athletes are. They You know, a certain number that they want to have that number on their jersey. His number had always been 22, but then I think it was when he was drafted to the Patriots, he really would love if they would issue him jersey number 22, but somebody else on the team already had claim to that number. So they gave him jersey number 28. And at first he was like, oh man, 28. Maybe I could swing a deal with that dude that wears 22. 28. The guy that was number 22 was pretty much stuck on number 22. No, this is what I've been wearing, this is what I'm going to wear. So Curtis Martin's got 28. But then he thought to himself, 28. 28. Deuteronomy 28. The blessings of God. So he proudly wore jersey number 28, making an association with the blessing of the Lord. And my goodness, his career was certainly blessed. Let's read from Deuteronomy 28. Here's what the Lord says in the first couple of verses. He says, if you will listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, being watchful to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you heed the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the field, and so on and so forth he goes. You're going to be blessed when you're going out. You're going to be blessed when you're coming in. You're going to be blessed when you lay down at night. You're going to be blessed when you rise up in the morning, and so on. Down in verse 12, he continues, the Lord shall open to you his good treasury, the heavens to give rain of your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You will lend, but not borrow. You're blessed. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. And you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath. If you heed the commands of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and are watchful to do them. I really love that. You ever notice that before? This scripture about being, you know, either the lender or the borrower. I mean, something inside of us ought to say, man, I want to be the lender. I don't want to be the borrower. I don't want that to be characteristic of my life. I want the story of my life to be that I'm the one that buys somebody else's lunch. I want to be the one who is the philanthropist, not the one who is always in need. I think the Lord is trying to communicate something through this chapter to Israel and to his New Testament church. It's still in the book. The blessings. I want to be a borrower who makes the shift and grows and learns and develops and gives and matures and gets to a place in my financial management where I'm no longer the borrower. Now I'm the lender. In fact, not even the lender. How about the giver? How about go ahead and bless somebody and say, you don't have to pay it back. I'll just do this for you in Jesus' name. That's quite a transition that occurs in life when somebody rises up and by the grace of God, they arise from being a position of have not, and they begin to apply some of these biblical principles, and in due course of time, they become the person who has. And not only do they have enough to cover their own needs, they have enough to go beyond that and to have an eye to bless others. And not just to loan it out, but to just give it in Jesus' name. What a wonderful transition that is. I would like to say something this morning to those who are already tithers. And then I'd like to speak a word as well to those who are not yet there. To those who are tithers, and you know who you are, I'd like to say this. You have an option. Especially when you hear about this 20-80 thing. I mean, it's possible that some people come and go from church and they just make the assumption, well, I guess we're all tithers in here, aren't we? No. It blows my mind to think of what financial resource we would have to work with if everybody was a tither. Oh, my goodness. But, you know, when you do find out that, hey, you mean I'm in a minority here as a tither? You have an option. One of the options is resentment. And the other option is to have an understanding heart, a gracious heart, a heart that is willing to sponsor, to pay the way of others until others are able to get their faith footing under them and recognize the wisdom of God's economic plan and begin to be a tither themselves. And so I ask you, please hear my heart. I'm asking that anybody who's already a tither, please don't resent the fact that there's some people that you may be sitting right next to in church that doesn't give hardly anything. Don't resent that. In your heart, just to understand, we're all at a different place in our walk with God. We're all at a different place in our own personal financial picture. We're all at a different place in this struggle to comply with all of the directives that are laid out in the Word of God. And for some people, they're just not there yet in terms of, Jesus, you are absolutely Lord over my life. You can have whatever you want of what I've got because you gave it all to me in the first place. Lord, you want 10%? You want 20%? I give it. He won't take it. He won't take it from us. He invites us to willingly give it to Him. But oh, to have that kind of heart. Oh, I appeal to tithers one and all. Don't allow any trace of resentment to somehow seep in into your spirit and say, well, man, I'm not going to be tithing anymore if we're not all in this thing together. Let's believe that we are all in this thing together. And I say, have an understanding heart. Be patient. Continue to give. Be generous. Be obedient to the Lord regardless of what others may do. Who was the guy that made this statement? Oh, man. I think it was Jonathan Edwards. It was a twofold quote that we have from him. He said, number one, be it resolved that I will live my life to the glory of God. And number two, be it resolved, I will do this even if others don't. That's really good. That's really good. So we're not influenced by others and say, well, hey, if he's not giving, I ain't giving. No, no. The Lord asked me to give, and so I give. No resentment, not even a trace. I'm appealing to tithers, and I'm saying, have a gracious spirit in Jesus' name about this whole finance thing. If you know that you're a part of the team that's pulling the greater share of the financial load here, honor God. Honor God by having a right heart about this thing. Can you receive that? All right, here's what I want to share with those who are not tithers, at least not yet. Those who are pre-tithers, those who are tithers by faith. You have an option. One option is contentment. And the other option is to take a hold of this thing and say, man, from this day, I am an aspiring tither. I am an aspiring, full-fledged tither. I ain't there yet, honestly, Pastor. I'm not there yet, but I want to get there. See, instead of just contentment, well, you know, I think I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. I think I'll just keep showing up for church and just hanging out with the believers, worshiping the Lord. I think I'll just be content to throw in $5 once in a while and just kind of leave things as they are. I don't think I need to make any adjustments in what I do with my money. That's one option. Oh, I don't recommend that. I say, let's have a heart to grow and to press ahead and to become all that we can be in Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. I say we should aspire not only regarding our financial situation, we should aspire in every sense of the word to become the finest specimen of Christianity that we possibly can. Amen. Yeah, no kidding. And certainly in this important area of financial resources. Do you know that somebody did the homework? I haven't done the homework, but somebody said of all that Jesus taught in the Gospels, 1/3 of it had to do with finances. That's emphasis. That's sending a message to us saying God does consider it important how we handle the earthly resources that He has entrusted to us. We're stewards of what belongs to the Lord. And so I say, let's all aspire to either be a tither immediately or to say, Lord, help me. I want to get there. I want to grow my financial commitment to the Lord. All right. I've taken enough time. Let me just quickly share this. It's going to X out a couple of other things there. I'm going to share this and then we'll kind of wrap it up. Some years ago, some of you might even remember the name of Charles Endifon. He was an evangelist from British Columbia doing a series of meetings here in Regina. I actually visited our fair city a few different times. Charles Endifon, the Lord really used this man in areas of healing and I'll never forget, it was over at the, then it was CBC. So that's going back a few years. But we're in the auditorium, and it was not a large crowd, but a decent crowd. And his ministry, he'd preach a little bit and pray for people and preach a little bit. And that was kind of how things flowed in his services. And I still remember when he set out to receive an offering that night, he did something that was really novel, really unique. I'd never seen it done that way before, never seen it done that way since. He said, how many of you are here tonight, and honestly, you don't have any money to participate in the offering? He said, let's just be honest with one another. He said, there's no shame in this. He said, you know how it is. Sometimes you show up for a church event and you know, you just you pull your pockets out, you know. You don't actually have any money on you, and that's okay. I would want you to come anyway. But he said, honestly, just raise your hand for a moment. Who doesn't have the ability to participate in this offer? And there's a whole bunch of hands that went up. And then he said this. He said, I'm just wondering. It doesn't mean that those who don't have any money with them right here, right now, it doesn't mean that they're poverty stricken and they don't have any money at the bank, they don't have any money stashed under the mattress at home. They are penniless. Total pauper. No, he said, it doesn't mean that. There's no shame in what we're about to do. But he said, are there any of you that do have some cash on you that would be able to find it in your heart to slip a couple of dollars? Maybe it's a $5, maybe it's a $10, maybe it's a $20, maybe it's a toonie. Would you be willing to just give some money, not loan, give some money to somebody who's sitting somewhere near you that put their hand up? Would you be willing to just give them an outright gift? You might not even know that person. You wouldn't know them from Adam. And you wouldn't know Adam if you saw him. Total stranger. Would you be willing to just put a $5 bill in that person's hand so that they can put it in the offering? Now, if they're really slick, They might just pocket it and take off with it and have coffee. But probably most of us here are honest enough that if somebody gave us the money, we would in fact put it in the offering. He said, would some of you be willing to just give some cash to the ones who don't have anything to give? And there's all kinds of people that respond, hey, I'll do that, I'll do that. So the next thing you know, you got people moving around the room for a couple of minutes and just slipping some money into the hand of the person who had indicated they didn't have any cash on hand. But now they do. And he said, listen, we are going to pray, and the prayer we're going to pray is that everybody who gave will be blessed for it. That God will cause their resources to increase, and that there will be some kind of favor of God, some dimension of the prosperity of the Lord that will come back to these people, so that next time they have opportunity to be in church or a church event, they'll be able to give in a bigger way. And after that, in a bigger way again. It was just really kind of an interesting exercise. I never saw it before. So, wow. Now, just relax. We're not doing that here this morning. Okay? That's not what I was building up to. I was simply saying, it's really cool. It's really beautiful that some people would have a heart to help somebody else out. That adds a whole bunch of richness to life when we have that kind of spirit flowing among us. A little charity, a little generosity, a little help my brother out. A little, you know, I got more than I need. You got less than you need. So here you go. Man, life is fun when you start going down that track. So it's beautiful, beautiful when people have a heart of sponsorship. You know what's even more beautiful? Now you got to get this. You could miss the whole point here if you don't get this. It's beautiful when people are willing to sponsor without an ounce of resentment. It's even more beautiful still. In fact, you can win the whole beauty pageant if you catch a hold of this. When somebody is on the receiving end, and they themselves begin to give, and they begin to grow in their investment, and they begin to mature in their faith walk. And what do you know? They are beginning to see themselves as one of the ones who has the resource to give, instead of seeing themselves and thinking of themselves as the one who is always in need. Instead of having a borrower mentality, we grow and develop and mature into a lender or a giver mentality. That's totally beautiful. That's so awesome when this transition takes place. Come on, you know that there's a lot of people in life. If all the stories could be heard, if all the testimonies could be given, there's a whole bunch of people, Christian, non-Christian, there's lots of people in the business world, there's lots of people in life who had nothing. Little or nothing starting out. But somebody invested in them. Somebody believed in them. Somebody helped them out. They got a few breaks. And maybe they even began to employ some of God's wise economic truths. And the next thing you know, this person has become a very successful, prosperous business person. They have become a very generous child of God. They have become a very well-to-do individual in society. Whereas they started with hardly two nickels to rub together. That's so awesome. That's so awesome. I believe that issues from the heart of God, that God wants people who can't quite see their way clear to be a tither at this stage of the game. But if they begin to give, and they begin to step out in faith a little trepidation, but they begin to step out and take some initial steps of, God, I'm going to test you. I'm going to prove you. I'm going to take you up on your dare. Lord, I'm going to become a tither. Maybe not full-fledged just yet, but I'm working on it. I'm working my way to becoming a full-fledged tither and beyond. Aspire to tithe. God will bless you for it. Absolutely. Come on. Let's stand to our feet. Father, I speak the blessing of Deuteronomy 28. I speak the blessing of Luke chapter 6. I speak the blessing of Psalm 112. Lord, I speak the blessing of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I speak the blessing of Philippians chapter 4. Dear God, I speak the blessing of the entire Word of God upon this band of believers. As sure as we're standing in your presence this morning, we just love you. We love your church. We love one another. We love, Lord, that you have held true on your end of this covenant relationship. You said that you're the God who gives us the power to gain wealth. And then you throw the ball back in our court and you ask us to give back just a small portion of all that you've given to us. Dear Lord, far be it from any one of us to resist the instruction of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Lord Jesus, that we may receive such a beautiful flow of your grace, of your favor, of your provision, of your supernatural blessing upon our church, upon our homes respectively, upon our businesses, Lord, upon our children. Oh, help us, Lord, to instill in the understanding, instill in the consciousness of our sons and daughters the absolute wisdom from above that is in this art of giving to God. Lord, I've shared my heart this morning. I have nothing else to say. I'm just leaving the rest with you. I'm saying, Holy Spirit, it's up to you now to touch people's hearts and help us to readily respond to the instruction of the Word and the promise, the phenomenal promise that goes with it. In Jesus' name I pray.